Living Way Church. Congratulations. Happy anniversary. 45 years. Wow, that's a lot of preaching, a lot of singing, a lot of eating. Real legacy of what God's done year after year after year. I was asking Pastor Doug how many of the original founders are still around. It's Doug, Val, and Barney Sarver. So Thelma and JB are with Jesus, and Sherry Sarver's with Jesus. But 45 years, that's an amazing, amazing legacy. Just think about all the thousands and thousands of prayers that have gone up to God and the worship that's gone up to God and the thousands and thousands of missionaries that have been blessed over the years and the word that's been planted around the world. What an amazing testimony to God's grace this is. Well, I want to thank Pastor Daniel and Athena for inviting us, and it is a privilege to be here, as it always is. It's like coming home for me. I've always said that Poway is my adopted hometown and Living Way is my adopted home church, and it's just wonderful to be back, and it feels great. I was actually picked up at the airport by the pastor himself and an elder in a Lexus. You see, normally when you're a guest speaker, you get picked up by the custodian's nephew in a Pinto that smells like Marlboro Lights, and you have Taco Bell wrappers at your feet. So to get picked up by the actual lead pastor and one of his elders was quite the privilege. So yeah, VIP treatment. I am somebody, right? It's not just my mom that says I'm special. Somebody asked me, Jim, how do you evaluate your sermons? I said, I turn to my mother and I say, how'd I do? She said, that was great. You were awesome. <clears throat> 45 years. See, in Texas, we think of the number 45 and we think of a 45 caliber handgun. 45 is when you're just starting out in life. It's like you're coming into your groove. You're hitting, you know, your peak years of productivity. You're coming at it. You finally realize who you are, what your personality is. You usually have a family, and you're headed for it. 45. I was encouraging Pastor Doug before the service that Moses started his public ministry at 80. 80. So Pastor Doug has yet to begin. Got a few years to wait before God really uses him, and he feels some usefulness. 45. Well, tonight I want to talk a little bit about a message that I think God's given me for you. And it's a message that I believe that if you're here tonight, the Lord wants you to hear. It's not an accident that you're here. It's not an accident you've come together on a Saturday evening, because God wants you to hear something tonight. And it's from King David. King David, the warrior, the worshiper, probably one of the most highly respected and lauded heroes in the history of Israel to the Jews and to the Christians. If you search through your Bibles for somebody that was a mightier warrior or a more anointed worshiper or someone who was closer to the heart of God, you're going to have a hard time. David was all of those things. He was an impressive, impressive individual. You remember his story, how that when he was a young man, he had a destiny. He was a young guy out as a shepherd in the field working for his dad. And he already had God's hand on his life, and he would worship God out in the fields. And then he ended up killing a bear with his bare hands, killing a lion with his bare hands. He had a purpose. God was preparing him. This was an unusual individual. There's nobody that could call David a wuss. Oh, that guy, yeah, he's kind of, well, he did kill a bear, and he did kill a lion, so you wouldn't pick him last. And then his coming out party, you remember, was when as a young man he went to feed his brothers at the front of the battle. And for 40 days, this arrogant giant, this 9-foot giant, had come out challenging the people of God and telling them all the things he was going to do to them. And David was offended. His righteous heart was angry and offended. He said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that's insulting the Lord of hosts?" Somebody ought to take him down. And they're like, oh, shut up. Just get back to this. What are you doing? You, one of them even said, you evil little kid. You, who do you think you are? Just get out of here. But it really bothered David. And so somehow he found his way out into the field of battle with this giant. And the Bible says that he went running straight at him. And he said, by the name of the Lord of hosts, I'm going to take you down. I'm going to chop off your head and I'm going to feed you to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. This is not a timid individual. This is not somebody who is full of self-doubt. This is not someone who's not comfortable claiming the things that God has for him and for his destiny. This is a really tough warrior, full of the confidence of the Holy Spirit. And you know what he did? He took him down. He got out Goliath's own sword, finished him, and then he chopped off his head. I know you didn't get this in the flannel graph when you were little children. Chopped off his head, and then he picked his head up, and he went, ah! And all the Israelis came sweeping down into the valley and massacred their enemies. Massacred their enemies. That's one tough warrior. That is one tough individual. An amazing victory. And he was loaded up with rewards. He was loaded up with lauds and honor. He even got the princess for his wife. An amazing story. But that's not what I want to focus on tonight. David was also a worship leader and a songwriter. And in David's songs, he was incredibly transparent. David was unbelievably transparent. He told God exactly how he was feeling and exactly the way his life was going. And he would empty out his heart and his soul before God in song. And if you look at the songs that he wrote in the Psalms, you see this pattern of a man who was completely open and honest with God. And I want to tell you something, that this warrior, this fighter, this historic, macho individual, I want to show you something that he wrote in Psalm 55. And in Psalm 55, we find this warrior king in a very different place. He's not standing over a giant with the giant's head in hand. He's not standing over a bear or a lion that he just killed. He's on the run. People want to kill him. He's been betrayed by his closest counselor. He's full of fear. And if you look in Psalm 55, verses 4 and 5, David reveals exactly how he's feeling at this moment. He says, my heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen on me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. That last line in Spanish says, horror has enveloped me like a blanket. Did you catch this? Anguish, terror, fear, trembling, horror. This great warrior, this great king, this tough guy that was ready to do God's destiny and he knew his purpose, has found himself at a low, low point in life, to the point where he's talking about horror and terror and trembling and fear. He's literally trembling in fear for his life. Full of horror. Have you been there? Have you ever reached the point where you are in anguish and you are terrified and you are trembling and you are full of horror? But Jim, we're not supposed to think like that. That's stinking thinking, right? I'm supposed to give happy talk. I'm supposed to say, I'm a champion. I'm supposed to run around talking about how I don't have any of those feelings. But we do. Sometimes that's where we end up. Sometimes God puts you there. And if you're honest, you even write a worship song about it. And you're in that low place. David talks here in Psalm 55 about how his enemies are trying to kill him. David doesn't have, just like the story of El Wapo, He doesn't have imagined enemies. He has a real El Guapo, right? He has a real enemy that's trying to kill him. He has real people that are coming after him and to kill him. We're not exactly sure who he's talking about here. Some people think it's Absalom, his own son, but I'm not sure because in 15 he says, I wish he would die alive and go right down into hell. I don't think David would have said that about his own son. He didn't want to kill his own son, so I'm not sure it was Absalom. But he talks about being chased and people wanting to kill him. He talks about betrayal of his close friends. It might have been Ahithophel. I don't know. It doesn't say who the close friend is that was betraying him. But we do know that David was being pushed from outside. They were trying to take his life. He had really close friends that betrayed him. I don't know if you've ever had that happen to you. Ever been betrayed by close friends? I know right here in Poway it doesn't happen, right? You guys just have this blessed life, hashtag blessed, right? No betrayals. It never rains in Southern California. Come on, man. He was betrayed. He was let down by his closest friend. He's got people hunting for him to kill him. And then you notch on top of that, he's got inward fear and anguish and trembling and horror and terror. One after the other, after the other, after the other. This isn't a very encouraging worship song. I don't think we're going to pop that up on the screen and sing that, right? I'm fearful and trembling and in horror like a blanket. Like, I'm going to pick another church. Let's get out of here. I remember we were at a Destiny conference in San Luis Obispo. And it's the fire. There was a fire that burned us out. And so we had to escape to a hotel, a Shiloh church. And the Kitleys got us into a hotel. And we ended up in this hotel. And the first night, we could still smell the smoke. The fire wasn't far off, but it wasn't going to overwhelm where we were. And there were a lot of hotel employees there in the ballroom. And the first song they chose to sing was, a fire goes before him and burns up all his enemies. The hills melt like wax. And I was thinking, this probably isn't a good, you know, the hotel people were like, what kind of fire cult have we called in here, you know? There are some things in the Bible I really don't want to pop up on a screen and sing with gusto. But that's how he felt. He had inward agony and pain and anguish and horror and terror and trembling. He had people trying to kill him from the outside. You know, even paranoiacs have real enemies. Right? And then from the inside, he had people trying to betray him, close friends betraying him. And then from the inside, he had all this agony, life-threatening enemies, betrayal of close friends, fears and terrors. And then he says, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I'd fly away and be at rest. I could flee far away and stay in the desert. I could hurry to my place of shelter from the tempest and the storm. Be honest, every son-in-law has prayed this prayer, right? When your in-laws are visiting. Oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I just want to get out of here. I just want to escape. I'm full of fear and terror and hopelessness and trembling. I just wish I was a bird and I could fly away to the wilderness and be at rest. Here's the thing. Tell the person next to you, you're not a bird. You can't fly away. You got to fight it out. You got to get through it. There's no flying away. There's no getting away. Got to get out. I got to get out of here. I got to escape. I got to flee. But no, you're not a bird. You're not a dove. The escape's not going to happen. And all of us have felt that also to a certain extent. I just wish I had the birds of a dove and I could just fly away, escape all these problems, and be at rest. I wish I could just fly away to Austin, Texas, fly away to Nashville, go to Idaho, and be at rest. Well, guess what, friends? You're right here tonight, and you're not a bird. You're not going to fly away. I will say this. I'll take this moment to say some kind words about California. There's nobody prouder than being a Texan than me, right? Nobody. My dad would take us to the Alamo whenever we'd go through San Antonio, and he'd tell us the whole story of the Texas heroes that had spilled their blood for our independence. It means a great deal to be a Texan. I was the fool that brought my Mexican bride to the Alamo on our honeymoon. As we're in the movie where they're talking about the history of Texas, she says, "Wait a minute, aren't those Mexican soldiers getting killed?" And the Lord spoke to me in an audible voice, and he said, "You idiot." So I said, "Let's go to Market Square and have some Mexican food." There's nobody more Texan than me, right? But I'm here to tell you the 7 years I spent in Poway, it was wonderful. You have no idea what a paradise you live in, friends. You have no idea. I don't care what you're paying. I don't care what your mortgage payment is. I don't care how much you pay for gas. You live in Southern California. Look around. Appreciate what you have. When I'm in 102 degree weather with 80% humidity, I'm not saying, "Gosh, I'm glad my mortgage is so cheap." I'm saying, "Man, I wish I was in North County, San Diego." That's what I'm saying. You live in paradise. Man, I would go, I remember when I first moved back, I would just lay in bed and dream of Alberto's carne asada burritos, fish tacos, La Jolla Shores, Del Mar, apple pie up in the mountains, being 90 minutes from Disneyland. Come on. California is awesome. And it's like Steve Areola told me, and by the way, Stephen and Kathy are our hosts again. Awesome. We're just so blessed. It's just such great care that we're being given over there at their tropical cabana. But Steve Areola told me one time when I was going on and on about Texas, he said, "Jim, we don't have to talk. We just walk outside." So when you see your friends leaving for Texas, just walk outside. Walk outside. But David said, "Oh man, I wish I had the wings of a dove and I could fly away and I could be at rest. I'd fly far into the wilderness." But you're not a bird, David, and you're not either. But the wonderful thing about David is he didn't stay there. He didn't stay there. He was in horror and terror and trembling and hopelessness and anguish. But David didn't stay there. "I have flown all the way from Texas. And I've come before you to read the following words from Almighty God for you that we find in verse 22 of 55. This is for you. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken." I'm going to read it again. "Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken." David cast his cares on the Lord. He came to a point where all of his macho and all of his warrior attitude and all of his tough guy image, none of it worked anymore. He couldn't cowboy up. He couldn't pull himself up by his bootstraps. It was too much. And so he had to cast it on the Lord. And when he cast it on the Lord, he was sustained and he wasn't shaken. That's what David did. There's going to come a point in your life when there is nothing that your money can do, that your influence can do, that your rank and position can do, that your history of being a tough guy can do. None of it's going to help you. And that's the moment where you have to cast your cares on the Lord. You cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. And he will never let the righteous be shaken. That's what David did. That was his secret. This year and a half has been brutal. It's been a brutal year and a half for churches. It's been a brutal year and a half for families. It's been a difficult year and a half for our country. We've had political chaos. We've had COVID chaos. COVID has swept through our country and killed thousands and thousands of people. And then we've had the lockdowns and the recession and the inflation. And then in our churches, we had to go virtual. And we couldn't come and we couldn't worship together. Families have been discouraged. Pastors are quitting right and left. Leaders are quitting. People are bailing out. People are saying, I can't take it. I can't do it. It's been tough. It's been really hard. Sometimes you feel feelings of hopelessness and horror and terror. I talked to a lady on the phone, and she said, I'm just terrified to leave my house. I don't even want to go outside. Anguish. And you look to the government to help you. Good luck. Especially y'all here in California. Good luck. You look to your money to help you. It does relieve some stress, but sometimes it can't pull you out either. That's when you cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you, because He never lets the righteous be shaken. We have a secret that the world doesn't have. The church has a secret that the world doesn't have. You have an almighty God who sustains you, an almighty God who keeps you from being shaken. Right before the pandemic, I had to have eye surgery. My left eye hasn't worked for years. I've got this weird thing. My first cataract surgery was when I was 17, way back in the early 80s. You had to go to the hospital. It was a 3-day operation, and you had to have your head in one place. That's how long ago that was. None of this outpatient laser or anything like that. And then over the years, I've had to have operation after operation until my left eye just kind of, it's a weird kind of inflammation thing. And then my right eye is also, I haven't been able to drive for like 3.5 years. The right eye is also kind of terrible. And then the ophthalmologist told me, Jim, we want to do another operation. And it's to get some of the pressure, relieve some of the pressure. We're going to put another tube in there. And he said, now I'm going to have you sign a waiver here that, you know, you could go blind and you could have this happen and that happen and you could lose. I said, okay, so I just signed it. Esther took me in. I went into the operation. I came out. He said, after a day, you're going to take the patch off. I was virtually blind for the whole day because, you know, I only have one eye that really works. And I went in to get the patch off. My ophthalmologist was gone on a trip, so his assistant was there. He took the patch off, and I couldn't see hardly anything. I said, is this normal? I said, I can't see hardly anything. Well, just give it a little time. I went home. It got dimmer and dimmer. I couldn't see a thing. I started to despair. I called the ophthalmologist. He said, well, he's out of town. He'll be back. I said, well, I did sign a waiver that said I could lose all of my eyesight. I'm sitting on my couch in the living room. Well, what am I going to do? What do I do if I'm completely blind? I can't see anything. And I started to despair and to anguish. I mean, that's a very real fear, right? So as I'm sitting on the couch, I spoke to the friend that was always there, that's always my companion, Alexa. I said, Alexa, play No Longer Slaves. You know, the worship song started playing. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And I started raising my hands. I said, God, I can't carry this. I can't carry it. It's too much for me. I'm in anguish. I'm a professional Christian. I get paid to be a Christian. I get a check for going to church. I've preached for years. I can give you a secret code that'll allow you to binge watch all of my sermons. I think it's like 99 cents. And here it's me, and I'm in anguish and in terror and in horror, and none of it helps. And I just kept singing, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Oh, oh. Just, I said, play it again. Play it again. I just repeated it and repeated it and repeated it until Jesus Christ sustained me. I said, you know what? Even if I do lose it all, Jesus Christ will never let me be shaken. Jesus Christ will sustain me. I'm going to cast all this burden on the Lord because I can't carry it. I can't. Some of you have children and grandchildren that aren't doing real well. You can't carry that burden. It's too much for you. Some of you are full of fear tonight. You can't carry that fear. It's too much for you. It's too hard for you to carry. Some of you have had diagnoses, really terrible diagnoses. You can't carry that. Some of you have been told, I'm sorry, we're going to have to lay you off. And you go home fearful and trembling. You can't carry it. Somebody died on the cross and rose again from the dead to carry your burden. There's somebody higher than you. There's a rock higher than you that's supposed to carry this burden. Cast your cares on him. Cast your cares on that guy, and he will sustain you. Jesus said in these beautiful words in Matthew 11, 28, he said, come to me, all you who are weary and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me if you're weary and you're burdened down, and I'll give you rest. I'll do it. I used to think when he said, take my yoke upon you, that I was going to put my head in the yoke myself and pull. No, he's getting into the yoke with you. He's pulling the yoke. This is to Christians. This is to believers. Come to me if you're weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Because you can't carry it. It's too much for you. It's too heavy for you. This year and a half, it's too much. It's too heavy. We can't carry it ourselves. All the bad news and bad news and bad news and heaviness, it's too much. It piles up. Do what David did. Cast your cares on him, and he'll sustain you, and you will never be shaken. He finishes the psalm, Psalm 55, 23. He says, as for me, I trust in the Lord. As for me, I trust in the Lord. All of us at some point come to that situation. All of us come to that point in life where we hit what David hit, and we choose to trust in the Lord. That's it. As for me, I trust in the Lord. We cast it on him. And I'm going to tell you something. David is an impressive, impressive guy. There are fewer heroes that we have that are as impressive as David. But you know who's more impressive? The one who the angels worship. The one who the writer of Hebrews says is higher than the angels. He's higher than the prophets. He's higher than the apostles. He's greater than all your political leaders. He's greater than all your religious leaders. When he speaks, life is formed. When he speaks, death has to come out of the grave. When he speaks, the weather changes. When Jesus Christ speaks, circumstances change. The Bible says he's the one who holds the keys of death and of hell. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and he's the one that will ride in on a white horse. Jesus Christ is above every name, and there's no other name under heaven by which you can be saved. There is no one else. There's no other hero. There's no greater character or personage in all the history of the world. That's who you're casting your cares upon. It's him. And if you cast your cares on him, you can trust him. You can trust him in any situation. Jesus will carry it. He'll carry it. You can make it. My message to Living Way Church tonight, throw it on Jesus. Throw it on Jesus. Hasn't been an easy year. Throw it on Jesus. I'm scared. I'm trembling. Throw it on Jesus. I'm full of horror. Horror has overwhelmed me. Throw it on Jesus. I have terror like a blanket. Throw it on Jesus. I have hopelessness. Throw it on Jesus, and he will sustain you. Because we will never see the righteous be shaken. You're going to make it. Because Jesus Christ can carry it. I'm going to close with this. I love the passage that Daniel read. So encouraging. Another one of my favorite verses are in Jude 24 and 25. It's a weird little book, right? Because it's got, you know, angels and demons and mystical things in it. And then it ends up in 24 and 25 in Jude with this amazing doxology to him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before his throne with great joy. To him, whose job is it to keep you from falling? It's Jesus' job. The righteous fall seven times, and seven times the Lord will raise him up. It's his job to keep you from falling. To him who is able to keep Living Way Church from falling and present her faultless and with great joy. To him, to the only wise God, be honor and glory and power and majesty before all ages. To him. He's the one that's going to keep you from falling. He'll keep your family from falling. He'll keep your church from falling. He'll keep your community from falling. Jesus Christ will sustain you because the righteous will never be shaken. Never. That's who we have on our side. So on this 45th anniversary, be encouraged. No matter where you are, you have an almighty God who sustains you, and he carries your burdens. Please stand with me, and I'm going to pray for you. Jesus, I pray for every person who've just heard your word. Your word has gone out, Lord, and your Holy Spirit is speaking now to every heart. And Lord, it's speaking to people who are discouraged and who are terrified and who maybe are trembling and in terror and horror. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would sustain them, that you would carry their burdens, that they would know the peace of Christ that passes all understanding, that they would have the authority of Jesus Christ to come and to take their burdens, that they would know that you're going to sustain them, that you will never let the righteous be shaken, Lord. I pray for any person worried about their job, worried about a sickness, worried about their children, their grandchildren, worried about things happening around them in the world. In Jesus' name, Lord, help them to throw their burdens on you because you care for them and you're going to carry their burdens and they are going to be sustained and you will never let them be shaken. I pray, Lord, in this anniversary for Living Way Church after 45 years, that you would have Living Way Church's leaders and volunteers and members to throw their burdens on you, throw their cares on you, and let you carry them. Because we don't have anybody else. There's no one else we can call on, Lord. It's you. And we thank you because you are the only wise God. And it's you that's going to keep us from falling. And we pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.